The reading this morning is taken from Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 21. Jesus said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'm going to invite Paul up now, who's going to come and preach for us.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day. I hope that you've got as crazy and as generous children and grandchildren as I have. Do you like my new shirt? Yeah? I had a lovely dinner out on Friday with one half of my family, and I've got some new glasses and a new hat. It says, Top Dad. The only snag is it keeps falling off. So, we are continuing our series of sermons with stories that Jesus told, and today we're talking about light. Interesting that each of the gospel writers gather together groups of Jesus' stories or parables, and they detail them together. That is, except John, whose gospel is completely different, but we're not going to go into that today. It's more than likely that this is the way that Jesus presented them. He would group his stories together and then tell them because they were related together. So, for example, in Luke's Gospel, he is the only one, in fact, who records the three lost parables. The parable of the lost sheep, then the lost coin, and then the lost son. And each one ends with the rejoicing over one sinner, one person who was lost and is found. Some commentators suggest that Jesus would use the same stories repeatedly as he travelled around. And if you listen to itinerant preachers, that's in fact what they do. They latch onto two or three stories and then they repeat it. Jesus had far more stories than that. But again, that is quite possible because he did, of course, travel around great distances. If you were to read one of the Gospels non-stop, and you were a slow reader, it would take you 4 or 5 hours. But just think how many days Jesus spent ministering. It must have been something like 1,200 days. So in fact, there's an awful lot missing from our Gospels. And in fact, John says, right at the end of his Gospel, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would have been written. Some Christian writers, have suggested that today's 5 verses contained 4 different, completely unlinked statements, which Jesus said at different times, and which Mark just collected together and put them in with some other stories which were connected, like the sower and the growing seed and the mustard seed. However, I think that's rubbish. I think we can quite easily connect the statements in today's reading, and we can see where Jesus is leading. So let's try and do that, and then we'll concentrate a little bit on the picture of the lamp and the light that it gives. Jesus asks a rhetorical question. Do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Of course you don't, Jesus. Now, remember, we're not talking about electrically powered table lamps or standard lamps or even battery-driven torches. The things which you and I take for granted in our modern age just weren't there in Jesus' time. And they would be dependent on small clay lamps, like that one at the top right. It would be filled with olive oil, and it would provide little flickers of a light all around the house. So they would have many dotted around their houses. If you put it underneath a bowl, then you wouldn't see it, and it would quickly go out because it would be deprived of the life-giving oxygen. If you put it under a bed, you wouldn't see it until the flames burst forth from the lighting of the bedclothes. Instead, don't you put it on a stand? Of course you do, Jesus. That gives maximum visibility and maximum light. And then the second statement follows on the hidden and the revealed strand of thought. For whatever hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. We'll come back to the wider implications and symbolism of the lamp and the light in a moment. But here, Jesus is referring to the upside down values of the kingdom of God. You know, the least will be the greatest, and the greatest will be the least. For whatever reason, Jesus will bring forth, he will display, he will show, he will tell in the open things which otherwise would be hidden. So new things will be seen, new things will be heard, as he discloses the things of the kingdom to his people. Hence the next two statements. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Sounds pretty obvious, doesn't it? Consider carefully what you hear. You and I need to be listening carefully to what God is saying to us. He may be speaking through a still small voice in our mind, in our conscience. He may be using some words of scripture that we have read and heard. He may be using the words of a friend. He may be speaking through a sermon or through the Bible study. There are many ways that God speaks to you and I today. And then he asks us to consider carefully what we believe that he has said. Just like Dan did at the beginning of our service, a lovely word that God had given her to share with us. Sometimes we may need to share with a friend and ask them what they think about it. We may need to talk to another wise Christian whom we trust and ask them to pray with us, that God's will be shown to us, will be revealed, and then will be done. And having heard and considered carefully, we now need to act. For with the measure that you use, Jesus says, it will be measured to you and even more. I find that pretty exciting, don't you? That God's got more for us. I think of a Youth for Christ leader who we got to know, and he led the Youth for Christ Centre in Newcastle. And every meeting where he gathered together young people, he would say to them, God's got more! And they would shout back, yeah! It was wonderful to hear these young people so on fire for the Lord. And Jesus goes on, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Now that sounds a little bit harsh at first reading, doesn't it? But in fact, God has given to every single person something that he wants us to use. In fact, many things are entrusted to us all. Towards the end of his ministry, Jesus told the parable of the tenants, where a landowner gave different amounts of money to three of his managers. The one who was given 5 units invested it, used it, and came back with an extra 5. The man who'd been given 2 did the same. He came back with an extra 2. But the servant who was given 1 unit buried it to keep it safe. He didn't use what he was given. He merely returned what he had been given. And that parable ends, throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, there'll be more on that next week from Phil. That was just a taster, okay? That was just a trailer. So Jesus' message in these five verses can be summarized, I think, in these words, my words. The light, Jesus, is meant to be seen. The accompanying message is meant to be seen and heard and considered and acted upon. And when anybody responds, you will receive accordingly. So let's go on to consider what the light might be referring to. And I've picked out three things which came to my mind, but I'm sure there are many other things that we could think about from Jesus' teaching and from his example. I was reminded when I was preparing this sermon of a couple of sermons that I preached quite a long time ago when I was just beginning to preach in the Methodist Church. And on two different occasions, I was preaching in Wesley Methodist Church in the middle of town, which is an absolutely huge church, and certainly the preaching lectern used to be right up here. So you're looking down on the congregation, and they're looking up to you and expecting you to give wonderful words. Now, this is the time before PowerPoint, okay? So in order to try and engage the congregation, I would try and take something to show them. And on this one occasion, I was talking about the light and the bowl, and I took along a small light and a bowl, and I put the light on the top, and I talked about the bowl going on top of it, and so the light wouldn't be seen. The only snag is, my bowl was one of these pearlescent ones. It didn't put the light out, it actually glowed with light. So that was my first faux pas. The next time I was talking about faith, and I used an example of a light. There was a light above me which wasn't on, and I said each one of us in our life exercises faith. For example, if I put this switch down, that light will come on. Sure enough, the light came on. And I said, and if I put the light off, the light will go off. It was a mercury vapor lamp. And they, in fact, take some time to cool down. So I stopped using illustrations when I preached in Wesley Church. In John chapter 8, Jesus speaks to a crowd of people and makes his second declaration in the I Am disclosures. I am the light of the world, he says. And that wonderful painting that, I can't remember who painted it. Thank you. And you can see it in, I think it's one of the cathedrals in London, a beautiful painting. But Jesus makes this seven-word statement, an absolutely mind-blowing declaration. I am the light of the world. It's very simple, really, just seven words. But the meaning is life-changing for those who will listen. And he follows it on with this life-changing implication. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And that's because Jesus comes and dwells in us by his Holy Spirit and illumines our life from within. His desire is to shine the floodlight of his presence into the life of every single person. He says, I love you more than you can ever imagine. Let's get together to clean out the rubbish and the debris in your life, for I have already dealt with it. Then allow me, by my Holy Spirit, to come into your life with the light and the life of the presence of your heavenly loving Father. And let me give you the good things of the kingdom. Let's walk together through life, day by day, forever and ever and ever, with no end, not even for the pause of death. And then he says, not only do I want to change your life from within by the light-giving light of my presence, but I want to illuminate your path to make your daily walk easier and more enjoyable and more satisfying. He says, I've come to give you life, life in all its fullness. I don't know about you, but I want life in all its fullness. And that is what Jesus wants to give to us. Jesus could probably quote all 176 verses of Psalm 119. After all, he inspired them, didn't he? But I wondered if he was thinking of the most quoted verse, verse 105, when he's talking about the lamp. Your word, says the psalmist, is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Whenever I read that verse, I think back to my youth when we used to go to the cinema. I think we used to call it pictures, didn't we? Yeah? Going to the pictures. And it wasn't like today where they had great gaps in the middle. They just seemed to run continuously. Two films and maybe some adverts in the middle and a very short interval. And if you went halfway through a film, that was quite all right. And this lady would show you to a seat. Do you remember? Yeah, some people remember, they're the same sort of age as me. She would have a little torch and she would show you the way down the aisle and she would show you the way to a seat. And in the interval, she would become very glamorous and she would sell you an ice cream. Usherettes with torches. Jesus, through his teaching and his preaching, through his lifestyle and example, he tells us and shows us the way of the kingdom of God. His spotlight shows us the path ahead through life along what he calls the narrow way, and he promises to be by our side step by step, no matter how difficult it seems to be. And he assures us, I am with you always. So not only does Jesus want to shine the light of his presence permanently into our lives, not only does he want to show us the way, but in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus addresses followers and he says, you are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on the stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So God is saying, Jesus is saying, not only am I the light of the world, but you, my followers, have your part in extending the kingdom in Starbeck, in Harrogate, in Knaresborough, in Wetherby, in Ripon, and to the ends of the earth. And I want you to do it by shining the light that I have given you. Do you remember the song from way, way back, This Little Light of Mine? Yep. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, and so on. I've had three sort of feelings about that song. When it first came out, in fact it's a traditional song, but when it first started to be used in churches in the 60s probably, I thought, what a great song this is. How different from some of the traditional music that we're usually singing. And of course it talks about us and shining our little light. Much later, I thought to myself, surely Jesus doesn't want us to be just little lights. He wants us to be great lights. He wants us to be floodlights and spotlights shining out into the world. And then again, much later, as I saw pictures of pop concerts where people were just shining their phones, their iPhones, with little lights. Or in remembrance events where people had a candle each, all the lights were coming together and forming a great light, a great mass of light in the world. I thought, how wonderful that is. Regardless of which of those you think is the best picture, Jesus wants us to shine. He wants us to shine by the things that we do, by the things that we say. This good book gives us enough guidance to the words of our Saviour. It gives us guidance through the writings of his followers. There is inspiration, there is example, there is teaching in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, which we need to read and get into our bodies and our minds and our spirits. So let each one of us take on board Jesus' message from today. Let us see the light. Let us listen to what he is saying to us. Let us consider the meaning of what he's saying and the implications in our lives. And then let us get on with the work of the kingdom, wherever he calls us to be, today and tomorrow and forever. Why? So that we may praise our Father who is in heaven. Say it with me. So that we may praise our Father who is in heaven. Again. So that we may praise our Father who is in heaven. Amen.